So Peter McDowell, it's just after the launch of your book. You've written At Home in Exile. It's about kind of church worship, spirituality and so on. Tell us a wee bit about the book. What are you advocating or talking about?
Well, it's basically trying to locate ourselves in what I think is a society that has changed and is changing, which means that the position, therefore, of the church within society has changed, and that forces us, I think, to ask questions of who are we, where are we, and what does the future look like, and how should we live in this future?
You're not really kind of flogging easy answers, and you're not really flogging a ready-made model. This is about empowering people to explore and take risks. And
yeah, I think if anybody comes looking for answers, they will be disappointed. I wrote the book as a personal exercise in trying to locate myself, and other people said it resonated with them, so we published it. And what I think it does is help me locate myself so that I can begin to find a way forward. And I think that's what it might do for other people, and I hope it does for other people, but it doesn't give the answers. It gives a starting point.
So specifically, what does it mean to be in exile? What does it mean for you to be in exile? What are the opportunities that gives? Because
mm-hmm.
I guess to people who are of a very traditional faith or no faith, this kind of doesn't mean much so far. You know?
I think for me, the way I look at it is that church, obviously within Britain, within Ireland, held a central place within society. It was a pillar of society. It was accepted and it was listened to. That has changed. We are no longer at the centre. We're no longer listened to in the same way. And in a sense, secularism and all of those things have arisen that make us think, well, who are we? Where are we now? I think it's those sorts of questions that it raises. And it's a feeling of being moved from the centre to the edge. And then that's what I the parallel I draw with the feeling of exile, being uprooted from where you were to this new place that's not so comfortable.
So when you're no longer the focus in the middle, then what is the freedom? What freedom does it give you then to be kind of skirting around the outskirts when people aren't paying as much attention?
Well, I think that's an important point. It could be seen as a totally negative thing, this experience, but I actually think it can be a hugely positive thing. Just tonight there, tonight wasn't a thing where I was talking to the people. We had a conversation among us and people were saying that it has been more freeing for them, that they've begun to explore and think about their faith in a new way.
Because the traditional constraints and structures weren't there?
Yeah. And that has been freeing, but it has also raised more doubts. So there's a sort of paradox of sort of feeling you're sure about less, but you feel freer and released to think about things in a new way. So
was that ever so slightly Pete Rollins as opposed to Pete McDowell there?
But oh, right, yeah. No, was it? I'm sorry.
No offence to either of you. throughout the Old Testament, when we end up with structures,
yes,
kind of temples and Jerusalem, and there's a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
And the New Testament basically starts to build that after a while. Certainly, those things come to
tradition. Yeah.
Do you think we're going to just create a pile of new structures out of this kind of exile and kind of come back in again to the centre or somewhere near it? Or do you think it should be this kind of continual process of actually going out into the desert a bit and kind of coming back and then going?
I think we need a continual process. I think no group of human beings that come together regularly can avoid some sort of a structure. It might look more informal or more formal from the outside, but there has to be some sort of a structure. So I think it's naive to assume that there won't be some sort of structure, but I think the structure that emerges will look very different. I think in the past we had institutions, not just in church, but society was made up of institutions. I think that's changing in society. We're more networks, more things are being devolved and things. So, and I think, therefore, it's not unsurprising to expect a different expression of church that might mirror that to emerge.
There are some kind of models and groups that exist in Northumbria community,
mm-hmm.
You'd know well. Is that an example of actually exploring in a very open way?
I think it is. I think it is.
There's a structure within it.
Yes, there is. Yes, exactly. There's structure there, but it looks very different. I think we're in a phase where we need people, groups of people, to be going out and experimenting. Because I don't think we know what things are going to look like in 20 or 30 years. I think things will look very differently for churches. But we don't know what that's going to be. So we need some experiments along the way. Some of those I think will work. Some of them will be short-lived. Some will last. But I think we need the courage and the freedom to try that.
But there's no danger necessarily in experimenting and things going wrong. I mean,
there is danger.
What's the worst that could happen?
Yeah, there is danger. You know, people can get hurt. That has happened in the past. Groups can go all sorts of different routes that aren't helpful or that are, some people would say, wrong. Mm-hmm. I think there is danger, but I don't think that's an excuse to stop trying.
And you're not really advocating creating a set of cults or a
no, absolutely not. Absolutely,
kind of the phrase, movements that are very claustrophobic. Or,
a phrase in the book that isn't mine. It's from N.T. Wright. Is faithful improvisation. Mm-hmm. So we need to improvise. We need to try new things, but it must be faithful. It must be faithful to the foundational gospels, the scriptures, the texts. Faithful to our tradition, but we need to improvise.
In a sense, the first stage is you've been typing away for a year to try and kind of get a kind of a book or an extended essay kind of in place. I mean, what are the next steps for? I mean, you're launching this into contemporary Christianity, and you've broadened its number of people who can hear about it and think about it. But I mean, there's a Northumbria group in Belfast. That's one way of doing it. Well, what are some of the other ways that might actually follow out of this, or what are some of the next steps that different people might take?
Yeah, I think people need just to get together and talk. I think to talk about their experience of trying to live faithfully in this context. Is their church helping? Is it not helping? What could be done within the church, or what might be done alongside church to help? I think it's people exploring together.
So potentially within institutions and also outside institutions?
Yeah, I think it's going to be all over the place. We're thinking of putting on a sort of little conference again just to pull people together, because we feel these conversations are important.
Mm-hmm. Two things to finish with. One, where can people find the book and find out about it?
It's available at the moment only on our website, which is www.contemporarychristianity.net. Mm-hmm. There's a paper book that can be posted out to people, or there's a ebook version as well available on the website.
Okay. And finally, when you talked earlier about the fact that the church in the centre is kind of institutionalized, but also part of the structures of the world. Mm-hmm. Do you think the church has the same relevance, or can have the same relevance, when it becomes probably more fragmented, less hard for...
More dispersed, I would say, more rather fragmented,
But it's harder to put your finger on it and say, this is the church, you know, what do you think?
Yeah.
Does it have to work harder to get listened to, to deserve to be listened to?
I think that perhaps the days of the church being able to make official pronouncements on issues and expect them to have a huge influence are going, if not gone. Mm-hmm. But I'm not too concerned about that. I think actually the more powerful influence is of individuals and small groups, communities of people living by a different model, a different values, a different story.
But yeah,
and living that out.
Attractive.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
People living out their normal lives, but living it to a different rhythm, or a different drumbeat. And I think that is actually always has been the power of the gospel.
Thank you very much.
My pleasure.